someone to weave everything into the story of the person of what they've accumulated. And it weaves the body in with the spiritual level, with the emotional body, with all of that. So it helps. It's like the glue that helps you to hold together so that you can move forward in getting healthy.
On today's episode of Supernormalized, I have Darlene van der Grift, medical intuitive extraordinaire with over 35 years helping people navigate complex layers of healing from health struggles through emotional blocks right into spiritual awakening. Darlene shares her unique blend of intuition combined with medical guidance that uncovers profound truths hiding beneath everyday worries, reconnecting us all with limitless possibilities hidden deep inside ourselves. Darlene and I discuss deeply on her understanding of intuition, her understanding of channeling, and also some greater understanding of the field and what that is. And we actually get into some meaty stuff there around how the field actually has, well, she doesn't believe, but I do. I believe it has an agenda to raise all of our consciousness. So I think that's a very interesting conversation. I'm sure you'll enjoy it as well. So on with the show. Looking at the statistics that I have for YouTube and for my podcast apps, I have a lot of listeners and viewers that aren't yet liked and subscribed. So if you're on YouTube, like and subscribe. It's free. And if you're on a podcast app, please give me 5 stars. That'd be really cool. It helps other people find these great conversations too. Thank you. Welcome to Supernormalized, Darlene van der Grift. Darlene, what inspired your journey to become a medical intuitive and cosmic mediator? That's quite a big badge to wear.
It is, but it was fun. It was quite a journey. I think I was always fascinated by the human body. My mother was always ill. She wasn't supposed to have me, and she kept me secret for 6 months and before she told the doctor she was even pregnant. And wow. So that, you know, that was, it kind of led that whole thing of what are humans about? And it's, when I look at it, you know, it was not what are people about, it's what were humans about was a term that I used to use even as a kid. And it expanded from there in and out of the hospital she was. And I even faked lockjaw when I was 10 to get into the hospital to find out what it was, what goes on there, you know, how come she going in and out.
You faked lockjaw. That's wild.
Yeah. Lockjaw. Yeah. It was kind of by accident, but synchronistic. You know, my doctor sent me in. I think he might have known I was faking it, but he thought, you know, here's an opportunity for this kid to get a real life picture.
She needs the experience.
Yeah. She needs the experience. And it wasn't until my mother went through a healing crisis. It was 3 years. They told her she had 6 months to live. She found an alternative way to go. Within 3 years, she came out of that as a healer, became a massage therapist to start. And she was making $15 an hour. I was working at a local store for $4 an hour, and it sounded like a good career change to me. And so I became a massage therapist first, and I fell in love with the human body is what happened. And I just wanted to know everything about it, and I wanted to be part of that. So I went and learned whatever I could. I taught anatomy and physiology. I opened up a massage school. I learned kinesiology and anything that I could get my hands on about how humans tick, their emotional level, their relational level, their, you know, herbs and supplements and anything that felt like for me, it was just a part of the whole thing of how they tech, how they work. How does a body work? How do they think? You know, how do they relate to each other? And that kind of started it. That was my beginning of falling in love with just everything that had to do with being human and wanting to be more human for me. Yeah. I wanted to be more human. I didn't even know what that meant. But
okay. So you had this fascination with the body that extended into your greater understanding of where we are in the cosmic universe as well.
Yes. It led me. The kinesiology actually was the biggest tool that I have. And I still use it, not in the way that other people use it, but I still use it as a tool for me, just as a check-in. And that opened up, I think the more I was working with it, probably 10 years in of working with it on a regular basis, and I had a full clientele. I would hear, downloads while I was working with somebody, say this to them. And I'd be like, No. And after about 10 minutes, it was like, oh, God. So I would say, well, I was just thinking, what about this? And then they'd start crying, and then it would open up something for them. So I learned to trust
Oh,
it. That's
yeah.
I really learned to trust it and not to say, no, I'm not doing that. And then that led me into channeling, and then channeling led me into doing groups and teaching, and it was a progression.
Curious about your channeling. When you channel, is that the same spirit that you work with each time, or is it something that just comes through and depending on the situation?
My first 5 years of channeling was one being, was an incarnation that I had. It's actually part of, it's his journey, which is actually my multidimensional memoirs. That's part of my book series. But when he came in, he wanted to rectify something that happened in his life. And it just so happened that about 3 months before he came in, I met a group of people. It's actually where I'm living now. And I used to live in Pennsylvania, and now I'm in upstate New York. So they came in, he came in, he started to do his work around the healing for that group. And then he brought in others. So I worked with a council, and right now they've evolved as I've evolved. And so now they're called the Evolves. And so that's a collective. So when I channel for people, I don't ever call it that because I think they're with me all the time, but it's mostly I'm working with their guidance system. It's not mine. It's a combination. It's that ebb and flow between their innate wisdom, so their body subconscious level, and their guidance system. And then if my guidance wants to plug in something, they do.
Well, that plays into that quote that I've got here from you, which is, you know more than you know. Now, what do you mean by that? And how does that knowing play out in people's lives? And are there ways regular people can obtain that knowing knowledge themselves?
We do know more than we know. We keep stay in our head usually, and think about things or overthink about things. And our innate wisdom, as I call it, our subconscious, our body level, our cellular level knows a lot more. It knows more of everything that's happened from conception on, and even our DNA carries our genetic trauma, it carries our long life history, if you believe in incarnations. And that all comes together. How people can tap into that, I think it's really about caring for the physical form first. If you don't honor your body, your temple in some way by, and the body doesn't need a whole lot. It needs good food, fresh air, and good water, and movement, right? And so if we do that, if we honor it, if we're grateful for the vessel that we've been given in some way, it's a good beginning. It's a good beginning of how to be aligned with your spiritual part of yourself and do what's necessary. I will also tell people, we can't get away from being wounded ever, in our childhood and as we grow up, we can't get away from it on some level. Sometimes it's really horrible and sometimes it's not, but it's still there. And if you've had a lot of abuse, if you've had accidents, if you've had surgeries, you want to align with your body. And the Ho'oponopono, are you familiar with that? Yeah. I would tell them to do that with their body at certain ages, whatever those ages were. If they had surgery, the tonsils out, they had a car accident, any of those things, because the body a lot of times splits off. It doesn't want to, it rebels because it hasn't been acknowledged. So by the time I see somebody that is in, like they've been through doctors, their symptoms aren't changing, their whatever. When they come in, sometimes, a lot of times, I find that their body is just rebelling. It doesn't want to take the vitamins. It doesn't care if it gets better, right? And you may not know that. You may say, I want to get better, but it's all in the head. It's not coming from the heart. And so doing the Ho'oponopono back with your body of whenever you felt, because it's like a child in some way, if you can view it that way, would you say, I'm sorry and please forgive me and I love you and thank you for sticking with me this long, and even though you're not feeling well or whatever, we can do this together. It changes the present day about how the body can take in new information or get well.
Yeah, the Ho'oponopono technique is really good for that because it's a way to dissolve all of the, I'd say, scarred tissue from those experiences and giving the body a complete reset.
Yes.
And yeah, that's how my understanding of it and how it works for me. So yeah, I didn't think of applying that to traumatic events and shadow work, but that's fascinating.
Yeah, it aligns. I'm one to weave everything into the story of the person of what they've accumulated, and it weaves the body in with the spiritual level, with the emotional body, with all of that. So it helps, it's like the glue that helps you to hold together so that you can move forward in getting healthy.
How does your work help people uncover their deeper truths about health, relationships, spirituality, career?
So they'll come in with one question, and then we lead for the whole hour into,
Yeah.
well, what about your husband and your oldest child just showed up, and oh my goodness, here comes your grandfather. So it's, I open the door to just tap into wherever they are, whatever might show up that would be, that's a hindrance to them or a blockage to them or something that'll set them on the path where they're not either not so confused or they're needing something to help them to navigate life better. I get things auditorily, I get things visually, I get things kinesthetically. So it's I never know. I never know what's going to show up. Sometimes we go right into a past life. Sometimes we go to a future life. Sometimes those past lives are not about clearing something as much as about bringing a gift in. You know, it doesn't have to be negative. It can be, oh, wow, you were this in a lifetime. And, you know, and here's your son here. And this is why you're with your son in this place here and how you're clearing that. And it just, it's a fabric. You weave the fabric of their lifetime into something that makes more sense so that they can navigate it better.
Would you say then, in that case, that when people turn up, their presenting symptom of the tension in their lives is sometimes just like an iceberg? It's just the tip of it, and there's so much more that's just underneath that. It's like as soon as you pull that band-aid off, oh, there's more, and then that shows you so much more truth about what they need to work with to be able to actually resolve that.
They'll bring in a question and I track it. Let's find out the origin of it and let's find out what clears it or moves you through it.
How do the ideas of quantum physics concepts like the field relate practically to personal growth?
Well, the field is around us all the time. If we understood the field and we felt like we could access the field, which I think all of us have an understanding or have a ability to access the field, whether that's through meditation, sometimes people need a tool. Mine was kinesiology. They can use cards, they can use whatever. It's a tool to start just what's being given to you so that you can know more about yourself, right? So that place of the field, how it helps us is it's filled with possibilities. And if you meditate and ask a question, not just meditate to just relax and feel your breath and open your heart, but if you meditate, feel that energy in your body, open up your chakra system, whatever works for that person, and then ask a question. You know, show me is a good one. Show me something today that I don't know. And then listen. Listen or feel or sense, or maybe you'll get a picture of something, you know, but then you're developing a relationship with the field or with your innate wisdom or with your guidance system in some way. Because you need to learn the language. If you're auditory, maybe a word will come in, or maybe a song. That's a good one, right? All of a sudden, a song will come in and you'll go, what does that, you know, we go, well, that's really interesting. Or what does that have to do with what I just asked? Right? What does a horse have to do with what I just asked? You know?
The way you speak of the field, it sounds to me like you're expressing that it actually has consciousness as well.
Yes, it does.
What do you think it is then?
I think it's a culmination of everything that has ever happened and probably ever could happen. So it's It has timelines in it. It has our past lives in it. It has the history of the planet in it. It has other planets. I mean, it's infinite, right, in what it holds. It's a consciousness that, as I see it, is it's not an individual. I think we need to, it's an individual. It's a collective. It's a something, right? It's not, it holds all of it. It holds all of it. And it's in this place that, yes, we've always had access to it. We just need to remember that it's there and find a way for that person to have the access, what works for them. They become bridges. I see people become bridges. They bridge from their life here. They move into the field. They get their information that is healing or moving them forward. And then it's reciprocal, that field, that energy gives back to that person through synchronicity, through dreams, through bringing people into their life that they might not have thought were there. You know, it just builds our intuition and our knowing.
Mm-hmm. Would you say then that the field being so conscious and helping people to change has an agenda? And what is that agenda?
I think the agenda is humankind's agenda, because that's where it's at in this world, on this planet, which is to become all that we can be. That may take, it's not just one lifetime, right? It'd be nice if it was, but we keep reincarnating to get it right in our world. But I think it has that offering. I don't know if it's an agenda. If you looked at the field as a consciousness, I don't know if it's an agenda, because then that's kind of, I want you to do this for this reason. Feels like it's more of an open book of what do you want to do for yourself? I'm here. I'm open. I have everything available. Ask.
Can you share some examples where shifting consciousness truly impacted someone's life's outcomes?
Well, there's a lot about that. I'm trying to give examples. When somebody goes back and understands, like I have, you know, women that come in, and this is relational, right? But they'll come in and they'll say, you know, I'm finding that, you know, I'm arguing more with my husband, or, you know, he's doing this, and this. And we sort that through, whether that's in this lifetime, where is her woundedness? Why is she getting triggered? And then if there is a past life or there's something that they had together, when they recognize the depth, they recognize the woundedness of their partner, or they recognize the fact that maybe this is a piece of karma from way back when, and they feel it. You don't just know it. You have to feel it. And then they change in present day because they've got new pieces of information and they felt it, and they change their dynamics with their husband or their partner, and their life changes. You know, not just because they changed. I've done this with people too. And I think it's another therapy that when you role play, that's another thing that happens. When you role play, even if that person isn't there, but you have somebody that is role playing and saying, this is what I would say to you. And how about that? And, you know, you go back and forth with that. The person that you're role playing about changes.
Yeah, I've seen that with family constellations work.
Yes, because we're all connected. We really don't get, if that was one concept that could really be global, that we really get that what it means to be one, that we share all the energy, what happens here in can happen in New Zealand, you know, it's like it just ripple effect.
Well, it does speak to that, like we're all basically a singularity at some level, and that, that expression means that somebody can channel somebody they don't even know to be able to help something work out something with their family constellation, for example. Yeah. I've had an experience of that myself. Went to a family constellation group, which was just a work group, and no one knew me at all. And I wanted to work on some stuff, and that involved five members of my family. So five people were randomly picked from the group. And I said, I was told to say, so you're this person, et cetera, et cetera. And then I said, this is the situation. And then they just said, I want to tell you this. And so each person just rattled off what they wanted to say. And every single person was right on point for the behavior and what they wanted to get off their chest when it came to that situation. And I was like, wow, this is ridiculously amazing.
It's so co-creative, and if we lean into it, trust it, right? Magic happens.
Magic happens. I think that's the paradigm that we're in now is, you know, the time of magic and the rediscovery of the magic of our lives and what we are as humans. So yeah, it's definitely a blessing to be here for sure. But for some people, it's challenging because we're going through those weird times globally right now. And do you have any suggestions for individuals so they can best use their heightened emotional states as opportunities rather than obstacles? Because we're all coming up to quite intense times right now.
Right.
What do you think can help people?
I think it's a deep dive into yourself and not paying much attention to the outside.
Yes.
Because the outside will distract you. It'll bring you down. It'll make you anxious. You know, you won't sleep. So much of what it's designed to do is to keep us on the outside and keep us distracted. And if we can say no to that, so the TV has less that, you know, you're not watching the news, you're doing something more about the internal piece. What can I change? What do I need to do to make better relationships or to heal something or to honor myself more or to put me first or anything? I mean, we have so much in life that we can work on about ourselves. And when you do that, then the people around you change too. So it's not just the better you get, the better they can be. And we don't lock them into a box because we're not locked into a box. So it's really about that. I mean, I think we've been doing therapy for how many years? Of when that started. And that was the beginning of it, but there's so much more out there. Energy work, somatic work, you know, how do you live a better, fuller life by knowing yourself?
Yeah, one of the major ones that I've seen work amazingly for people has been breath work.
Yes.
And cacao breath work sessions, things like that, where it's sort of ceremonial and led by somebody that is a shaman.
Yep.
To actually help people reconnect to their bodies and to release whatever knots of information and emotional unwell-being to be able to, you know, move forward. So I think that, we're actually coming to the time where a lot of these things are really, really helpful. So, yeah, it's good. What advice would you give somebody feeling immobilized by fear and uncertainty about their future right now?
I mean, I'm not one against medication, though. You know, some people need it. Some people really, they can't navigate, they can't function. So there is always that lean towards that. But it's really about how to calm yourself, how to, again, not listening to anything on the outside. How do you get to know your body and your central nervous system and your adrenals that might be wiped out and burned out from something? Where is it that you can start from scratch at time? But it's that meditation place or listening, not to people unnecessarily, but sound. Sound is a good one to bring in a higher vibration, you know, so finding going to sound healing sessions is a good one. Using tuning forks to open up your body in a way that gets you a higher vibration and lets the anxiety go. And when you're worried about the future, I mean, that's a place to go, right? I mean, like, what's going to happen? The world's going to fall apart, yada, yada. But it doesn't serve anybody to focus on that. It's more about, what do you believe? Do you really believe that this is the end? Or can you lean into something that says, I choose not to believe that, because we are co-creators. We are creators. So we can change what we think is impossible to change. And it's about the masses. I look at the light workers and the therapist and everybody that has a similar understanding, a similar knowing, a desire. We're like the mycelium, right? We lie underneath the surface and we're growing and we're connected and we're growing. And at some point, and we're developing and we're creating and we're co-creating. And at some point that rises. And what's been not working and what hasn't worked for us for quite a long time that is now falling apart, that network can come up and embrace something different. We just have to understand we're creators and we're not stuck with this and we're not at the mercy of what's happening, because that's fear-based and that serves no one.
Well, for all the people that are listening that understand that intimately, one thing that you can actually put into your life and into your understanding, into your subconscious, is the idea that I've been playing with lately, which is really simple. It's just imagine peace. Yeah. And if we take that and just imagine peace, then things calm down everywhere.
Yeah. And you'll attract it.
That's it.
Now, if you resonate with it, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get more peace. But if you're anxious, that's what you're going to get, more anxiety. Mm.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, you're known to also be a bit of a master of the art of timeline creation. Now, I'd like to ask some questions around that. What do you mean by that, and how can people participate in their own timeline creation?
So timeline, as an architect, somebody coined that for me, which I liked. It was, so going back through your timelines in this lifetime and past lives, or your trauma that might be genetic, right? Your ancestral trauma. When you go back and you identify the dynamics of that, the stuck points about that, the where you picked up your patterns and your belief systems and all of that, when you start to see that and you change it back there. So I do that through visualization. Sometimes it's on the phone when I'm working with them. Sometimes it'll be their homework because it needs to be longer than the session. And they get clear points of how to move that. And when they do, and changes, like we talked about, you know, the therapies that already move that, when you do family constellations and things, it moves that. Then you start to look for, in the present day, not only you change because of what you've done, the work that you've done, but the universe starts to provide for you and you become more aligned with where you're going. So you change a timeline. I never really realized how powerful visualization is in changing something when you're coming from a strong intention and a desire and a will and a heart space. That when you can visualize or you can intentionally change something that has happened. And some of that is because the time that we're in, the veil to all of this, the veil to the universe and to the quantum field is much thinner than it's ever been. So when we change something, when we move something back, whatever that is, it opens us up here for more to come in that resonates with who we're designed to be. And not who we think we are. And I would tell people, you know, like, the way to start is to take a look at your genetics. Take a look at your ancestors. How was your mother treated by her mother? How did your father get treated? What do you understand about their history? What do you understand about their trauma, maybe even as a culture, that you don't have to just look at and go, oh God, you know, like that happened to them. No, you go back and you change it. You consciously become the mediator between what is going on, or you stand up for that person, or you see that person standing up for themselves. It's a way to change them even though they passed. Because we're all energy and they still exist somewhere, whether they've incarnated or they didn't. So it's our willingness to say, we want to be the bridge. We want to go back to our past to clear it up so that our vibration raises higher and they get healed.
Yeah. Yeah. The raising of the vibration actually seems to burn away a lot of the, what'd you say, mitigating subconscious understandings.
Right.
How does soul union support people differently compared with traditional therapy practices?
A common thing that I hear from clients is, well, this could have taken me 10 years in therapy to get to that point. So it moves quickly. in an hour. I usually suggest people to do an hour, even though half hour, if that's all they can do, we get a lot done there too. But it's a, I'm a Scorpio and I blame it on that.
Blame it.
I want to look for under every rock to find out what's going on and what's there. And so I would say that that might be the difference. I think there's a lot of other people out there too. But soul union, I think, brings it all together, whether it's what's happening in your health, what's happening in your relationship, how are your children doing, where's your past lives, what's happening with your mom, you know, it just all comes in to give you a substance to hang on to so that you can move forward.
Looking ahead, how do you see humanity collectively evolving through these growth potentials you're describing?
I think we can do it. I believe we can do it. I know we can do it. I've seen future lifetimes, so I know we're still here. Very different, but we're still here. So what does it take? This isn't the ending of humanity. We've reached a point which really Mother Earth is letting us know that this is not okay, right? Like, you've done too much to me that I'm not, because she's going through her own evolution and claiming herself as priority here. So we have that, but humanity in some way will come through it. It is about coming together because the forces that don't want us to be are creating all kinds of division and anxiety and fear based. And if we don't pay attention to that and we unite in small groups and family groups, I mean, even families are being divided, you know, through politics or anything else that anybody can get their hands on, you know. But if we stay united, it means we have to listen to people. We listen to them, we accept them, we allow them at some point, but we keep our sovereignty. It's not about turning ourselves over. It's a way of communication. I believe if we communicated better and we understood each other better, we would get through this quicker.
Yeah. Do you have any daily practices or mindsets that would help listeners start tapping into their innate wisdom immediately?
I would say get a tool, because it's the easiest thing, because we so doubt. I mean, I went for 10 more years of saying, no, you know, I'm not listening to that. You know, that's chaos in my head. You know, what am I, schizophrenic? I mean, there was a lot of that doubt place. But the understanding and then what got me through that gauntlet was trusting what was coming in, one, because I either had a tool like kinesiology or I had a person in front of me that got impact from a download that I was getting. And I was like, oh, I guess that might be true. So I would say a tool. Get a tool, meditate. If you're empathic, which is one of the hardest things to be when you don't know how to navigate it, you'll take on so much from everybody around you and you don't know who you are. You don't know, like, wow, I'm crying and why am I, must be something wrong with me. No, it's not. Maybe you walk through something. Maybe somebody across the room is sad and you pick that up. So before you go to bed, when you're in bed or when you come back from work, if you had a horrible day or whatever, do a very simple, I say goodbye to. So, you know, you start with whatever random comes in. I say goodbye to George today, who lost his mother. I say goodbye to the woman that I was on the train with and she was crying. I say goodbye to, you don't have to go into detail, but it's your way of letting your body know, letting your consciousness know that not only maybe you said goodbye to all these people at work or you walked out the door or whatever, but you're consciously separating from whatever you took on.
Yeah, that's a good message. So, Darlene, how can people find you and learn more about your services?
My website is soulunion.com. They can reach me on that. I run a group every third Sunday of the month, and it's open. It's a guided visualization, but it's dealing with healing Earth and humanity is one, but each individual that's there also gets something to work on for the next month so that they can take a look at that within themselves.
Nice. Well, I'll include that link down at the bottom in the show notes, but I want to thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing your understanding of the field and channeling and your experiences and how we all need to connect into that greater understanding of who we are as a human.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. All right. I'll just say goodbye to the listeners. It was a pleasure to talk with Darlene just now about her understanding of her work and how she uses that with people, couples, anyone, to assist them with their understanding of greater ways to change for their health and mindset and the world. So if you've enjoyed today's show, remember to like and subscribe. And also, if you're on a podcast app and listening, give us 5 stars and send it to a friend. That'd be really cool too. And thank you so much for listening. Until next episode, it's bye for now.